Sifyat Aleph. We start today a brand new topic, even though it's the middle of a simon. The first half of the simon dealt with issues of Tzu'adak and Khrushchevka, which is a condition that makes a person osa bekal. Now, starting from Sifyat Aleph, there's a brand new topic, a brand new issa d'araisa, which does not relate to the Nezer in the sense of being mutter bakal and asa bakal. Has nothing directly to do with who you're allowed to marry and not allowed to marry. It deals with the iser of being the sares of neutering an animal or removing removing or damaging the reproductive organs of men and women, human beings and animals, all of which will be discussed here. Now, the first question is, where in the Torah does it say anything about this topic? If you learn the Chumash without Rashi, you won't see anywhere that there is a parsha in the Torah of Anissa Saris, of Anissa to be Misaris. The place where it is in the parsha of Mumin, the Mumin of animals. When the Torah talks about which animals are pasuk for carbon, it lists certain mumin, certain physical, they're all external malformations, external injuries of an animal, never internal, always external, mumin in an animal. And there the Torah says, umoch v'chosus v'nosik v'karos lo'isakrivu la'ashem. It's not talking about anything except carbon. The pasuk is talking about bringing as a carbon, moch kosus v'nosik v'karus. Rashi says that's a reference to the reproductive organs of a male, just like Petsua, Daka, Khrushchevka talked about these type of was talking about this part of the human being. So too, this is talking about this part of the animal. But then the pasuk adds three words, uba'artzechem loisasu. Besides that you can bring a carbon, that you're not allowed to do. And Rashi there says in Chumash, shum behema b'chaya afilu tumeya. So there we learn the issa sirus. The issa sirus will have the parameters have to be explained, but that's the makar in the Torah for this particular issa. And clearly, from this pasuk itself, there's an issa to be misaris, a behema, or a chaya, or a knife. And like Rashi says, a filo tmeya, whether it's roi or not roi for a carbon. The Gemara in Shabbos on Kuf Yod Amid Beis, and it says, minayin l'siris adam. How do you know a human being? Here's something about a carbon. It's talking about animals. Minayin l'siris adam. So the Gemara darshes Tamad Loima uba'artzechem loisasu. She could have said uba'aretz loisasu uba'artzechem uidashim bochem loisasu. That there's an iser sirus. Rashi there says kari beleiseyasu bochem leiseyasu. Don't allow it to be done to yourselves. So this is the makar. The whole makar is from these three words, Ba'atzechem Leisasu, the Torah Shabbat Peh explains this, and this is the answer. Excuse me? Ba'atzechem sounds like only Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so let's learn the Mechaber. Noah didn't do it deliberately, right? So, not a Raya, and not a Raya, that's Mutter, that's for sure. So it happened to Nayach, but it's not a proof one way or the other. Okay, let's learn Sifyat Aleph, and then we'll
see. Residents of the land, and those who reside there, there would be anybody who
It's the old rule, you can't learn Torah Shabbat Ksav without Torah Shabbat Peh. Now, if I was learning just Torah Shabbat Ksav, I might think so. Let's see what it says here in the Mechaber, which for the most part is Lashon
HaRav. Then he's also his wife.
So that's totally in the halachas of Khrushchevka and totally in those halachas. So it depends.
Then where?
And we said depends when, if it's Hayidei Chayli, we had a Mechalek Sram in the Rosh, and that's what we spent the time learning, so it always depends. Typically, let's learn Sifir Aleph, and let's see, okay? It's a Issa Deraisa. It's one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Rambam writes in the Hagdama, there are many more than 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. We only count those mitzvahs that are Mefurish B'kra. A mitzvah that's entirely comes either through Halacha Mishum Sinai or entirely through drashas, that's not Mefurish B'kra, but the Rambam calls Derech Remez, it's Taka Deraisa, but it's not part of the Taryak. It's not one of the, I would venture without checking, that Nisuch HaMayim is not one of the Tayyar Mitzvahs. It's not Mefurish B'kra. It's Merumiz, many of them. But I would guess that it's not one of the Tayyar Mitzvahs. And here, I guess it's Mefurish enough with the Ba'ar Tzachem Leisasa. Now let's do Sifir Aleph, which is a pretty much covers all the typical cases. And we'll see where this goes, Halacha L'maaseh. Also lahafsid evarei hazera. It's also lahafsid. Now it doesn't say to remove. It says even to ruin evarei hazera, which means even if the aver is left intact, but something is done to make it unable to function. Something physical is done that it can't function. There's an iser bein ba'adam, bein ba'behema chayev va'ayif, echad tameim ve'echad tahirim. Doesn't matter, Behema Tmeya, Behema Taira. Bein Be'eretz Yisrael, Bein Be'chutz La'aretz. Why does it say this? Because Be'eretz Echad Le'Shasi, you would think is only in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam says, Sayin Eretz Yisrael, V'chayin Chutz La'aretz. V'chol HaMisareis, Loikim in HaTaira. It's considered a lava Mefurish B'kara, Be'eretz Echad Le'Shasi. And there's Malkus on this, B'chol Mok. That's the number one. Now, Vafil Misareis Acha Misareis Loika. We're going to get back to a detailed discussion of this, but Misareis Acha Misareis. Sometimes you have a person who's missing one of the Avarim, one of the reproductive Avarim. Still, to be Misareis, another one of those Avarim is still awesome. And we'll return to the discussion. Let's do the Kololim. It gives an example. If the gid of the male was cut away, if someone else cut away the testicles, I noskan ripped them out. A third person came and ripped away the chute bayim. Oy shaba acher umach sagid ba'achav noskai. We had already in the beginning of the simon, there are three avarim of a male, the gid, the bayin, and then the shvilim, the pathways of the zera, which were called chutei bayin. The vast deference, yeah. Va'af agav shalei siris achrayin ela misuris. Even though the last person did it to someone is already misuris, bein ba'ad, bein mechayev va'ayif, it's all awesome. Now until here, not common to have shaylos of being misareis in Adam. We already spoke about the people who have vasectomies in the past, but beyond that, it's not such a common thing. It's more common by animals, people who want to neuter animals, and somehow assume that it's mutter. So here in the Shulchan Aruch, it says it's us. We'll discuss it. I don't want to get sidetracked. There's an Issa Chavola, and we'll discuss it. You know, it's only Derech Nisayin, Derech Nisayin, if you remember. Okay. Now, let's just finish. Most of what you're going to ask is given. What? So that's the next line. And this is where it comes up more. It comes up more by women. Women, when they're past childbearing years, very often have issues, other issues, with the female Avarim. And the Shulchan Aruch says the following, which is the subject of a tremendous discussion. This is the Lashon HaRamba. HaMisareis es HaNekeva. Somebody who is, that's a hysterectomy, someone who removes the, let's say, the uterus of a woman. Bein ba'adam bein b'sharminim, whether a human being or an animal. Pater avalaser. What is pater avalaser? the mumin of an animal are all, as I told you, external mumin. To be a, for an animal to be possible a carbon, it's not hilchus treifus, it's hilchus mumin. Treifus is internal. But mumin are all external injuries or defects. And since a woman has no external reproductive organs, so therefore, by an isha, the Rambam says pater avalasa. What does pater avalasa mean? The Magen Mishnah says it means an issa d'rabbanan. That's how the Magen Mishnah teaches that it's an issa d'rabbanan. So before you get into cases where it might be mutter, it might be aser, and most of the tshuvas have to do with women, let's first learn the geder of the issa nekeva. So what we're really doing, at least at the moment, is jumping past the first four lines of this sif and jumping to the most common shiloh, which has to do with women having this type of surgery. Again, by a male, a vasectomy, as we mentioned in the past, not only is aser, but the way vasectomies are done today in the kiss, it asks a man to marry a Jewish woman. He's not married to a woman. And we discussed the idea that this is a problem with certain balei tshuva. The vasectomy is done not in the kiss, but in the pnim aguf. It's mutter, but unfortunately, it's not the way.
That the woman tied her tubes about.
We'll talk about tying the tubes. Okay, we'll get to all of this. Before I get to the individual cases, let's just learn the geder of the iser, because they're actually here on the page, not one, not two, but three sheetas. The Mechambis says patel avalah, so that's a code for iser drabanan. If you take Masechta Shabbos, I happen to have it here, I want to show you something else, but the first Be'er HaGoyla, in Masechta Shabbos, the Be'er HaGoyla, you know, always says Ma'ar Mekaymus, he doesn't have klolim. But he starts the Masechta by saying a klal in Dinei Shabbos, which he's quoting from the Rambam, Komok if Shenema Oisadova Zepater, Harry Zepater min HaKaris, min HaSkilo, min HaKarbin, Aval Osalas Oisadova B'Shabbos, that whenever it says Pater Avalasa, it's awesome. He's Surah Midaber Seifer. He sets up that cloud. Shabbos, it could be Chayiv, Pater, Mutter. Mutter means Mutter Lechachilla. Chayiv means Isidere Aisa. Pater means Pater Avalasa. It's Pater Menatayra. It's no Ainish, but it's also Midaraban. So here it says Pater Avalasa, Pash Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, Isidraban. Let's jump down to the Taz on the bottom of your page. Taz Vav. A mesaris as a nekeva potter, kosav ha-magim mishnah, it is not ain't serious b'n nekevas. It says ain't serious b'n nekevas, and there we learn out. V'lo yom ha-mutal esaris ha-nekeva, sh'ma mila achiv u'dolak al v'isuri ikam. But there's an iser, there is an iser. So that's the magim mishnah shita. Mishim ha-chi kosav ha-ramban mamish kan loshim potter. I don't know what it says, Mamish Khan. What? Mishumah, he calls him Ramban. What's the next word in the new prince? What? I have Mamish in mine. Have Yosef in the Vav? Oh, Yosef. Somebody has a new one. There must be some misprint here. Mishumah, because Mamish is yeshivish. It's not. I don't know. Ramban, I don't know, Lashon Potter. Maybe it should be Kamaisha Kosov Khan. It doesn't say Pasku in mine. Kosov Ramban. What? What? Mimasha Kosov Khan? Ramban didn't see the Shulchan Aruch. I don't think he passed and based them. Anyway, Veloy Nirali. The Taz says, "Loi nirali dig dixer megamara." The vaday gam loshin ain't serious for the kavis. Meir al heter. The Taz sheet is that's mutlachet chila. K'may loshin mutter. Elatam kibisha mesara saisai de maisa. When you do an act to the animal, k'gain hakav biita shai dover agarim serious. By the maisa shaloi, ain't loi b'bay heter. The filu b'behem osim mishum sar balechayim. So he's saying the only reason it doesn't say mutlachat chila by an animal, none to do with this is serious. It's atzar balechayim, and below is serious. And then he brings Beprisha, which is the next page, I'm sorry. Beprisha nas and tamle isab in the keva. Yishum loisayu bara. He says a different reason it's also by in the keva, because loisayu bara, loshavasi yitzara, which obviously doesn't apply to animals, only to women. Bzeinai. My mutta lahashka is the keva ikrim. The next step from the sea that a woman is allowed to drink a medication that causes her to become infertile. If the reason is so broad, that should be aser. Therefore, if you drink, it's mutta. Fill it by the ma'aser shalom. And this is the Shita Sataz. The Taz of Shita is that Siris the Keva is Mutla Chatchila, except it's Abal Etayim. We'll talk about Chavola shortly. This is the Shita Sataz. Generally, the Paiskim call the Taz Das Yochid in the Paiskim. It's not like the Pashtus HaMechaber. The Krismayshi writes that the Taz doesn't go into Cheshbon because it's a Das Yochid. The Gra has the opposite extreme. If you look in the Quran, Sivkat and Chafei, he holds it's an Issa Deraisa. In other words, you have here now two extremes. The Mechaba holds it's the Ravana, the way the Magnish explains. The Taz says it's Mutlachet Chilam. Turning back to Gra Chafei, and Masar says in the Keva, Teres Kayanim. Minayin Shafa in the Keva's Besiris, Tamil Laime, Kimosh Chosam. Moshkosam bohem veinan a kevis besiris. I'm sorry, that should be Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Bohem vein a kevis besiris. Bohem is male, not in the keva. So pirish katana a pasak katana kama. The emir malchus kibin lo nichlu b'loisasi d'loisasi. So the Gra is saying that it's an issa deraisa to be besiris of the keva. It's not like to be shaynim in the sugi. The sugi is actually a mesach to Shabbos. It talks there about medicine on Shabbos, about a woman drinking a kaishal ikrim, drinking something that makes her infertile. So the Gemara asks on Kufiyat Aleph Amid Aleph, Lord Yechem Membraiko, who says a woman is mitzvah and pur revu, how are you allowed to drink a kaishal ikrim? Maikal Amemar? Kvari answers, Bizakena Inami Ba'akara. That's talking by somebody who's an akaro or a zakein, an older woman. So there's no violation of pur revu regarding that. Now, what about the esesiris? Esesiris is even an older woman. So Taisus says, "Beisha nami leshayek esesiris." Taisus says, "I'm sorry."
Why is the zakein taking a kosher?
What?
She doesn't need it.
Right. Why
is the zakeinah taking?
Why is the zakeinah taking it? Okay, that's a good question. Maybe other things it does. I don't know. And it could be a case of something else, and it's a side effect. I don't know. Tosis says lo shayach lebeisim mishum mesaris achem mesaris. Why is it? Who cares if she's a zakeinah or an akara? It's mesaris achem mesaris. She already can't have children. It's a new siris. He answers the zakeinah lav sirisu. So it's going, oh, woman, there's no issa siris.
Are we talking about the woman is subject to Ruvu?
The Gemara, Rav Yechem and Breika, she is. We pass me, she's not. Gemara asks her, Rav Yechem and Breika, who holds a woman as mitzvah, how is she allowed to drink this kaishal ikrim? The Gemara answers, you're right, she's not allowed to, unless she's already past childbearing years. Tais says, what about the issa siris? And Tais says, that by is a kena like a siris. That's what he says.
But this whole thing is subject to a woman, yes, means subject to
a woman. Right. But when she says a kena, obviously it doesn't affect her ability.
Sometimes they do this because it's a kind of woman. They remove it from somebody's.
Okay, so let's jump to the practical halacha, which everybody is using. It's permanent, yes. It's if you're the base, we're going to have. Even permanent kaishal ikrin is mutter for a female. It's mutter for a woman because there's no karas v'nasik. There's no damage, physical damage to the ivarei halei. Let's talk about a hysterectomy. Let's try to go in order instead of just thinking about all the possibilities. Just a general klal hadvarim. Now, obviously, b'makim sakana, it should be l'chayra obvious that you can do a hysterectomy. What's a sakana? Obviously, if there's a cancer in the uterus, obviously you remove the uterus. There's nothing to talk about, because even in a male, God forbid, who has a disease in the Evarei Hazera, in l'chadavar ayim nei pikuach nefashis, and obviously there's no... obviously there's no hesitation to do what has to be done. What about by a woman? It would seem to be a davar pashut by a woman who wants to have a hysterectomy, who wants to remove whatever it is, whether this applies to the uterus, it applies to the ovaries as well, that these are part of the Evarei Hazera of a woman, and removing it is part of the Isser, the Raisa like the Grod, the Rabbana like the Mechaber, Mutta like the Taz. So Rav Moshe has a couple of tshuvas on the topic. And his earliest tshuva, even as a tshuva Yud Gimel, he says, firstly, he says you have to be cheshish for the gra. It's a shalav deraisa. And we have our old rule that by deraisis, we try to be cheshish for any major shita. And Rav Moshe certainly. The camp to be chayshish shita sakra. Where is there a discussion when we talk about sakana? Discussion is in the following. There's no question if there's a chash of a disease in the uterus that it's removed. The shaila is where it's a sakana for a woman to become pregnant. And she's still in the childbearing years. Whether it's mutter to remove the uterus. In his his early tshuva, and in Chelak Av Tshuva Yagimel, Rav Moshe writes that he's writing not only like the Gra that it's a Deraisa, even like the Mechaber that it's a Drabanan, that there's no heter. Yechayla loyli boil. Right, she can not have relations with her husband, and she won't become pregnant. And Yechayla loyli boil, and he writes in the tshuva that he's not matter. The hysterectomy. Now, that's a very difficult sack. You should go the rest of her life without relations with her husband. But that's what he wrote in this early letter. Fortunately, there's a later tshuva in which Rav Moshe explains the halach yelach of the earlier letter, and that's in Evan Ezra Chelik Dalit, Tshuva Lamed Dalit. There, Rav Moshe writes to a woman to whom it's a sakana to become pregnant that she l'shamish b'mayach, she should use a diaphragm, she should use some type of method of birth control, and in that way she won't become pregnant. And that particular tshuva in Lamed Dalet, Lamed Gimel, he tells his brother, in Lamed Dalet is a woman who, for reasons that are not specified there, is unable to use birth control. So Rav Moshe there is not here being Seimach on the Mechaber. He says, a Shasat Chagadol. To go the rest of her life without relating with her husband is a Shasat Chagadol. So he could be Seimach, not like the Gra on the Mechaber. And Rav Moshe goes into the question of when Drabanans are Mochamer, when they're less chamer, but the bottom line, he's matir. He writes to the woman, to the shayel, Mayashech Marti, in my first tshuva, says, I told them to use birth control. They refused. They didn't want to use birth control. So for somebody for whom birth control is an option, so there's no head to do a hysterectomy. I am not using birth control. So my wife refuses. It could be a sakana. So he says, "Ashulayli boil." You can't go and make it into an emergency when you have options. That Ramesh says that's what I wrote in my earlier tshuva. But where the forms of birth control are not available, so there Ramesh writes that it's mutter. In a later tshuva, I think it's tshuva lamed vav, he goes even further. He writes, the earlier tshuva is a woman who has a physical sakana to become pregnant. The later tshuva he writes about a woman who has a psychological problem. He says you have to be sure that it's true and it's not manufactured, but a woman who has some clear mental issue with becoming pregnant Ramesha writes that these things are also sakana. Mental disease are also sakana. And again, he's mad to do a hysterectomy in any type of shasat chak such as this. Okay, this is sort of the background before you get into specialized cases.
Go ahead. Are we talking here that they already have children? Because all this.
It doesn't matter. If it's sakana, then it doesn't matter.
Him not to have children by all these.
So that shayla is really not related to this. That's a shayla. Anytime a man is married to a woman and they discover later she can't have children. So they discover later. It has nothing to do with Asiris. But we already learned that the Gemara says after 10 years to be Megarish. And we learned that the Minig is not to be Makbid. Certainly we live in Chutz Laaretz. But all right, it's a very painful discussion. At any rate, this is, if I can call it the typical case, Ramosha does write a Chiddush. He says it's a Pashtus. One of the options, he's writing to a woman who had, this is written in Chavtes, this is written back in 1969, a woman who was having a third cesarean, and the doctors warned her that another pregnancy would be a sakana, and at the time of delivery, they wanted to sew up the uterus, sew up the piharechem, sew up the cervix, so that she can become pregnant. If no zera can penetrate the cervix, she wouldn't be pregnant. Tfiras harechem. In Svara, the person could argue whether that's considered serious. Ramashin says for Pashtus. He doesn't discuss whether it is or it isn't. He just goes into discussion of serious in the discussion of Tfiras harechem. So that's, I guess, because that's the Lashon of the Pasuk. It says a number of different ways of Karas, Einasuk. So wherever it fits in, Ramashin Nemzah, that any physical change to the reproductive organs of a woman is included in the Issus. So before we get, I want to discuss shadlis that come up today, but the aleph base of all this is that a hysterectomy is an Isser either derabbanan or deraisa. The Taz is the outlier here who holds that it's a that it's mutl chatchila. I mentioned to you, and we read the Hakdama on Taz and Eben Ezer. Taz and Eben Ezer does not carry the weight of the Taz in Yeridaya. Taz in Yeridaya was published by him. The Taz in Eben Ezer was published by a grandson who writes that he added his own thing sometimes, and it doesn't carry the weight of the Taz everywhere else. And even if it did, the Taz here is a dasyot, and it's not the language of Pater Avalos. So one thing is very clear: the practice of some gynecologists, even from gynecologists, of recommending a hysterectomy for women who have issues with fibroids or issues with other types of inconveniences. Fibroids are common in women when they get older. Fibroids are, for lack of a better mashal, are pimples on the walls of the uterus. There are two types of fibroids. They are internal fibroids and external fibroids. They're fibroids on the inside of the uterus and on the outside of the uterus. And for a firm person, they cause problems because they cause a lot of irregular bleeding. On the inside, it's easier because a DNC or a scraping of the inside of the lining very often resolves the problem. On the outside, it's a much bigger challenge, and they tend to grow. And then they can cause other health issues. But as long as it's a question of convenience, the practice of recommending a hysterectomy just like that is not such a double portion. Experience is that many women, as they go through menopause, the fibroid issues, which at one point in their lives may be major, tend to abate, tend to get better, and. So Sirus is no difference after childbirth. There's no difference though after childbirth or not. Kind of akara, there's no difference. What? If it's a serious chayli, I'm talking about it's the convenience of Hilchos Nida. The serious chayli may be included, may not be. We have to be Dharma b'chal terakula. What's a din? Look, I'm not. We'll talk about certain issues, but how serious is serious chayli, so we could talk. The kol tara kula dikashayla, how much we say lechadami amtein pikuach nefesh. We know Chazal's level of pikuach nefesh is very chamra kula. We say it's a big kula by any level of sakana, you know. And the Beis Halevi said big kula, it's a big chamra. You have to be machmir in the mitzvah shemarta b'ayin lav sheisechem. Even a small, he said, I'm not a medical, I'm a machmir. I see any chashas sakana, you have to be careful. Okay, this is the background. What? So it doesn't matter. There's no difference in okay. So the issue is the Rambam's lashon, which is the lashon of the Mechaber, is that it's patra avalaser by nekeva, and he doesn't make a chiluk between the different ages that it is. So now there are issues which come up. for example, a woman who has uterine cancer, they're removing the uterus, which is pretty much a localized cancer, and usually removing the uterus works if they catch it early enough. The practice is to remove the ovaries. The ivarim of a woman, their ovaries, which have the eggs of a woman, which every month in the cycle give out eggs from each ovary. The fallopian tubes, the tubes that carry the ovum down to the uterus, and it's the uterus, which is the womb, and the cervix, which is the pi harechet. The practice every time you remove the uterus is to remove the ovaries as well. The statistics, I believe, are in the single digits, 5 to 10% of women with uterine cancer. Rachmana Litzlan can get cancer in the ovaries as well. Nevertheless, we're matir, because the issa misares acha misares, which is a riboy by men, does not really necessarily apply to a woman. And therefore, in these cases, again, Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and Chelek Dal tshuva, I believe, Lamed Beis, but... I'm sorry, not Shuvah Lamed Beis. Choshe Mishpat Beis, Shuvah Ayin Gimel Ay Zayin. He passed in that by Isha there's no Masares Acha Masares, the Tosfos that I read to you before. By Isha there's no Masares Acha Masares, and therefore that they're matter. Now, today, there's a brand new sort of major topic. It's not something that's often written about, but it's a very present topic. I'd like to explain it as best I could. There's an issue with the BRCA gene. Now, those are familiar, totally familiar. Those are unfamiliar. You should never have to be familiar. The BRCA is BRCA. The BRCA gene, basically, I'll explain what the BRCA gene is. B'lashon b'nei Adam, someone has a mutation, and the BRCA gene is prone to certain cancers. This is, we're talking about the mid-1990s, the discovery of a mutation in the BRCA gene. The BRCA gene is BRCA1 and BRCA2. Basically, for halachic purposes, absolutely no difference. now, everybody has a BRCA gene. Every male and every female, the BRCA gene is a part of the genetic makeup of a person. It's a repair shop. It really repairs damage to the double strands. So you've seen pictures of the double strands of the helix of the DNA. The DNA, the genes, the cells are constantly reproducing. It's a lot of activity going on in our bodies. It's incredible how much the machinery is working in the body. It's just mind-boggling. Things are constantly reproducing. And every time you reproduce, you end up with having some ripping on the way. And the BRCA genes are genes that produce a protein that repairs. It's a repair shop. Repairs imperfections in the cell reproduction. There are individuals who have a mutation. A mutation means an imperfect, let's call it, constructed BRCA gene. Has been discovered that somebody who has a mutation in the BRCA gene, a person can take a blood test, someone who has a mutation in the BRCA gene is far more prone to breast cancer and ovarian cancer. And the numbers are staggering. The percentages are staggering, as you'll see in a few minutes. In the Jewish Ashkenazi population, someone who has a mutation in one of the two BRCA genes has a 75% chance of developing breast cancer during the lifetime, and a close to 50% chance of developing ovarian cancer. That's a very frightening statistic. Now, there are tests available for the BRCA, for mutations of the BRCA gene. And how common? The BRCA gene in the general population in the United States is 1 in 500, which is pretty high. 1 in 500 people have a mutation of the BRCA gene. In Ashkenazic Jews, it's somewhere between 1 in 40 and 1 in 50 that have a mutation of the BRCA gene. It's very, very common, relatively speaking. And somebody who has the mutation, if you have a family where a number of relatives develop breast cancer, it's advised that a person test for this BRCA gene mutation. And the question is what to do if someone discovers that he has this mutation of the BRCA gene. Now, there are serious social implications. I want to talk about the medical part. We'll talk about the social part in a minute. The medical part is the following. If someone has a mutation of the BRCA gene, and men and women could have it, the chance of passing it on to a child, if one parent has it, is 1 in 2. It's 50% chance. A person could have numerous children. Some could have, if the parent had it, some could have this mutation, others not. It's a 50% chance. What does a person do if he has this mutation? So there are two steps in the advice that's given. During the reproductive years, where a woman wants to keep her uterus and her ovaries, screening is done usually once every 6 months. They screen, they test for cancer. Once every 6 months, since it's so prevalent, and their mammograms and other testing, and they screen very diligently for it because the people would like to keep their ability to have children. Generally speaking, when having children is not the issue, what's advised is removal. Now, it's both removal of the uterus and removal of the breasts. Now, it's a very difficult surgery. We're talking about someone who's perfectly healthy, but has this statistical issue, and they call up a rav and they ask the rav, "What should I do?" And the numbers. The first time I ever heard of the BRCA gene was in the 1990s, shortly after it was published. A doctor, a well-known doctor, who married somebody who was very close to him, and my parents' best friends, a daughter. In those days, you knew your parents' friends' daughters. Nowadays, I think it's more taboo. But you see, soon as together, and we're always on first name basis. And they met with me, and I never heard of this BRCA gene. And he told me the statistics. It's frightening. And there were people who in the family who had breast cancer. It's just overwhelming for a woman to think that she's perfectly healthy now, and to remove the breast or the uterus, it's really the ovaries, but once you take out the ovaries, usually you take out the uterus too, to remove it. Now, removing the uterus and the ovaries past childbearing age, it doesn't have tremendous emotional implications. We have hormone replacement therapy, so the hormonal changes are not as serious, but removing the breast is just, it's a major thing for a woman to contemplate as long as she's healthy. From a strictly cold, statistical, halachic viewpoint, certainly if a woman's past childbearing age, it is a 75% chance. It's very difficult to say that a person shouldn't do it. Now, we don't have statistics. I don't know, people who screen, how often it happens. But I have anecdotal stories of people who screen and find it at an advanced stage, and it's a very frightening thing. The shaila is about removing the uterus in such a case. I don't think there's a shaila that with numbers like that, uterine cancer is close to 50%. If it's hereditary, it's more. Not a hereditary meaning that there are family members who had it. It's even more so. The statistics go up a little bit, and it's over 50%. So how can someone say that halacha doesn't consider it sakana? On the other hand, it's very hard for a rav to tell a healthy woman. So I basically, when the woman calls me, usually the husband calls me, I say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you feel like doing? It's very hard to tell a healthy woman to remove both breasts and because of this. Now, very often, they want to. They have siblings or relatives who went through the pain of the disease. And sometimes not. The halacha, from a halacha standpoint, I don't know of any printed tshuvas about the BRCA gene. I imagine that Rav Asher Weiss must have one already. He has a tshuva about everything that happens in the modern world. I'm not familiar with it. But I'm certain, fairly certain, that the Paiskim would allow. I recently had a case where, I don't even know what to say, a woman called me. Actually, a husband called me, and the oldest sister at age 38 developed breast cancer and tested for the BRCA gene and was positive she has the BRCA gene. And as soon as that happened, the other family members tested, and the two sisters tested negative. The two younger sisters both tested negative. The second sister, also at age 38, developed breast cancer. She was screening every 6 months, and it was already at an aggressive stage when she discovered it. And now the third sister, who tested negative for BRCA, is calling for advice on what to do, and she's under 38. She's still got childbearing years. The question is what to do at that stage. So it's a very difficult, very, very difficult topic to discuss with a person. You really have to get a sense of what the person wants to do in such a case. And this is the issue. Again, removing the uterus is not so much of a halacha shaila. I think when the two sisters developed it, I think that it would be okay. There was negative for the BRCA gene, so I don't know what to say. I told the first thing you should do is get a second test for the second lab. But Im Kol Zeh, this is the issue. Now, this is a very serious social issue.
There are many other familial cancer syndromes.
But not with this. Not with this statistics.
75%. Not with this statistics, but there are other ones, and there are other ones that are. So just because it's negative here doesn't mean she falls into that. And a lot we don't know yet. I mean, there's a lot.
I agree. A lot we don't know yet is certain. Even about BRCA, it's relatively new. I'll tell you, it's a very, the social implications in the firm community are very, very serious. Today, people go on a test for BRCA because they're afraid for Shidduchim, for their daughters. They're afraid for Shidduchim. If they know they're BRCA, do they have to reveal it? There's a 75% chance. There's more than 75. 75 for breast cancer and 50% for ovarian cancer. Together, I think it's in the 85% range because some of them overlap. But most of them overlap. But stay with Sfaradim. it's very serious. Not only that, like, where's the world headed? It's such a complicated world. Like, you want to be able to figure out everything. At the time, that's the problem with the Bahal in the world today, is we want to be safeguarded against everything. Remember when we were kids? Nobody wore seatbelts. You wear helmets when you went biking? No one wore helmets. The one thing we knew, if you go swimming after you eat, you're going to die, that's for sure. That we knew. But everything else, now it's better to have a world where you have seatbelts. It's better to have a world where you have helmets. Everything is better. But it just makes it such a complicated world. We want to over-predict everything. We want to be able to ensure our eternal happiness from the time that we raise our children. And worry about everything, and it just It's such a bahala. I mean, what's going to happen? What happens if they, after a BRCA gene, they find three or four more genes? So when are you going to have shatchanim who specialize in people with this gene and that gene? How's it going to work? Very, very hard. But yet, a baka comes to me and he says, and there you go, she tells me she has the BRCA gene. What do I do? Well, I must have tell him. I must have tell him. And,
similarly, like prenatal genetic testing on the other side of life, you have the same child.
It's the same complication. We who don't abort a child have it a little in a way, in a funny way, a little better, but it's just the social implication of all the genetic testing is hard. Now, though Yasharon does testing, you can do something about it. It doesn't cut people out, because the way they do it, remission is true, but rights, not to label people as being genetically faulty. So when they tell someone it is a match or it's not a match, they don't tell you if the person has a chesaron, doesn't have a chesaron. Either you both have it or none of you have it. That's all they tell you. But the labeling of people in this situation, it's on the one hand, you can't fight with progress. It's going to save lives. People will know they have this gene and can help themselves. Certainly, even just for the constant monitoring, it's already kedai. Nevertheless, the social implication it's just mind-boggling. I mean, it's only the edge of it. The DNA sequencing is in its infancy. You know, the next generation, they're gonna know everything about you. You know, they're gonna tell you. You know, you're going to marry her. Her children are going to have red hair. Do you want to? You want to marry someone whose children have red hair? So, you know, the other niche, but
curly red hair.
Okay. It's just a scary thing. But again, Simon Hay, though, no question that someone with the gene removing the breasts is certainly mutter, and even removing the uterus. Now, earlier, Rabbi Yeshua brought up the issue of chayvul b'chaveira. There's been a separate issue deraisa of chavolos. And the question is, we're saying a hysterectomy is an issue derabanan, but why is it an issue deraisa? You're being chayvul, you're doing a damage which causes an injury in a person.
Any surgery.
So yeah, any surgery, any elective surgery for that matter. Same thing, Ramesh has a tshuva about doing plastic surgery, as shayla is chayvul b'chaveira. So you have to know chiddush or Rambam. The Rambam writes, the Issa Chayvul B'Chaveira is only Aser, Derech Nitzayayin, V'Derech Bizayayin. It's actually two verses in the Rambam. Derech Bizayayin, which you understand Bizayayin to mean to knock someone down, but Nitzayayin means having a fight. If you're doing it in the manner of a fight, or in the manner of attacking a person, then Chavola is Aser. Ramesh writes, to be Chayvul, for a positive reason, like for even plastic surgery, you make a chabola in order to the person's nose is too short; they want to stretch it out a little bit, so he goes to plastic surgery, and they're cutting him open. How do they cut him open? So there's no issa chayvul b'chaveiroi on something that's not derech mitzrayim. Ramesh says the same thing about giving blood. By giving blood, also he says chavala. Besides that, it might be mutter even if chavala is also, but he says that's not chavala. Chavala is only derech nitzayim and derech mizayim, and there's no issue.
Chavala ba'atzma, isn't there an issue that you're not a ba'al on your own
book? You're not a ba'al on your own book, it's true. But in Kozeh, this is. So
the bottom line is that the woman has told her way of after she has some sakana.
A hysterectomy is mutter makom sakana. Two types of sakana. The Igros Moshe I quoted, I'm talking about a woman who has sakana to become pregnant and wants to remove. So there, Moshe says if there are other aitzes, you have to go with the other aitzes. Here, there are no other aitzes. The birth control, the issue is not pregnancy. The issue is makom sakana. Even if it's a deraisa, and koshkin, if it's a drabanan, there's no question it's mutter. And the statistics that they publish are way beyond what halacha would call sakana. And I think that all the Paiskin would agree that it's mutter. We go so far say it's a chiyav, anyone with the BRCA gene, if you can do screening every 6 months, it's hard to say it's a chiyav. We have the old rule of the Hashem Ripsam Hashem, something that's considered in the world to be an acceptable risk. There's no din of Nishmaritim Bailan Ashi Seichem. In kol zeh, if a person wants to do it for sakana reasons, then it's mutter. So we didn't get yet to the neutering of animals, and we're going to meet Hashem, we'll get to that yet soon. Mitzvah Shev will continue.